If you want to get your favorite technical news, give the Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 143. Matt and I are entitling this show Cell Phone Ban, because one of the funniest pieces of legislation I've ever seen in my life relating to technology has come out of a Vermont senator, John, I can't remember his name, but it's largely ridiculous because he wants cell phones banned for anybody under 21 years of age. And not only that, but he wants it to be a $1,000 fine or up to a year of prison time. Yeah.
This is one of those stories where the politician is doing the old Rush Limbaugh, demonstrating absurdity by being absurd. I get that he's trying to make a point, but his point is being, I think, a bit obfuscated by the level of ridiculousness that he is proposing in this legislation.
I concur to a large degree. The concept of, because we have, let me do this. So it's Vermont Senator John, he's a state senator, and is John Rogers. And he wants to make the possession of a cell phone punishable by up to 1 year in prison or a $1,000 fine or both. Now, who do you put in? Do you put in the parents who buy their kids a cell phone? I mean,
you almost have to, because, yeah, quite frankly, I mean,
he writes in his proposal that cell phones are a large factor in teenage driving deaths and can lead to bullying and radicalization. Quote, in light of the dangerous and life-threatening consequences of cell phone use by young people, it is clear that persons under 21 years of age are not developmentally mature enough to safely possess them, the bill reads. Just as the General Assembly has concluded that persons under 21 years of age are not mature enough to possess firearms, smoke cigarettes, or consume alcohol. Now, what I find totally ridiculous is that persons of 21 years of age can serve in the military, they can serve in on police forces, so they can't use a cell phone. and this is the helicopter parenting way of doing things too. My personal opinion is, and listeners, let me know if you think I'm wrong. I'll be sitting at the card table with the sign that says, convince me.
Change my mind. Yeah.
And, but I don't believe that we should have limits above 18 years of age. Frankly, to buy tobacco products. I don't smoke. I don't like people who smoke. But, it's a law that is largely unenforceable. We have a smoking ban in public in Ohio, and it's great. And yet I still see people who are supposed to be 300 feet away from the entrance of any public place, and that includes stores, stadiums, everything else. Yet, if it's raining, they're standing right next to the door smoking. Also, you don't see the ashtrays, the public ashtrays, 300 feet out. You see the public ashtrays right by the door as you go in. So, don't tell me that this is not, something that would be enforceable, particularly as a smoking man. Or a cell phone ban, because what are you going to do? Kids will start going out of state and going to their Sprint stores and buying, they'll be buying burner phones from Jimmy out of his trunk, which they probably already do anyway for other reasons. But come on, this is stupid. And then having a fine and incarceration on top of that, most states, that is an unacceptable addition to the number of people who are already being incarcerated. And funnily enough, our socialist friends across the pond in Europe would laugh at us because we put people in jail for lots of other things that they do not. And over there, in some respects, they have a little bit more liberty over tiny things, because a lot of those countries overseas have much lower drinking ages. So having a cell phone ban to your age of 21 makes no sense. In my case, I would only have one kid who would be able to have a cell phone at this point, if we lived in Vermont. What that tells me is that Vermont's going to, an already very small state, is going to get smaller.
Well, I mean, he's quoted as saying he has no delusions that it's going to pass.
And he wouldn't even vote for it himself. So why even bring it up?
The story that I got was through WDTN Channel 2 news here in Dayton. The last sentence is for me, the level of absurdity is just demonstrated. Rogers says he thinks owning a cell phone may be more dangerous than owning a gun. But he wouldn't probably vote for it himself. Yet I guarantee you, if they put a gun ban, he'll vote for that.
Oh yeah.
Because, surprise, surprise, he's a Democrat. Which I don't think your story
It does not. It just says that he's a state senator from Vermont. So I find there's a couple issues I have a problem with this. I think it's absurd to post legislation that nobody's going to pass, and then come out and say that, oh, I wouldn't even vote for it.
Well, he probably wouldn't vote for it.
And then the other thing is one of the biggest problems that we have worldwide, but even in the United States, it's a huge problem, is the number of laws that exist. Everybody, what's the statistic, Matt?
The average American citizen commits 3 felonies a day and doesn't even know it.
Yeah, I mean, and the issue is, so if they were able to enforce that, your 3 felonies a day, and so you'd be doing about a little over 1,000 felonies a year, 1,100 and something a year. So if they, at the end of the year, like taxes, they catch up to you, what are they going to do? Put you in jail? You know, you don't pay taxes when you're in jail. You only get paid a nickel an hour. And that's even if you do get a job at the prison. There's so many laws in the books, they can't enforce them, and it's very and a lot of the laws are ridiculous. They defy common sense. And the other thing is, our legislature or lawmakers, whether it's at the local, state, or federal level, need to be cognizant of the fact that repealing a law, once it's put in place, is almost never happens. It the law has to be so egregious that that, you know, it take all kinds of people who are affected by it, you know, contact their lawmakers to get it changed. And you know, and we laugh about some of them, like there's still laws in the books from the 1800s, you know, in some cities and states in the country, like, you know, you can't own a pet alligator, or you can't eat ice creams on Sunday, or how about Alabama's law about sex toys being illegal? I mean, come on. One, state of Alabama doesn't need to worry about what's going on in people's bedrooms or backseats of their cars or whatever. So, and who's investigating those? You know, is Alabama got a secret surveillance state going on where they're monitoring what people are doing in their privacy of their own homes? Or are they tracking what people are buying and purchasing? Or is there a way station that you have to go through, or a checkpoint you have to go through when you come into the state to show that you're not bringing any sex toys in? Come on. legislation like that is idiotic. We know that prohibiting things like that does not work. As a matter of fact, it's a good way to make it proliferate. Maybe that's what he wants, is to proliferate things like that. Look how our war on drugs has been done.
Well, a government war on anything has typically had adverse effects, whether you're talking drugs, poverty, pretty much you name it. I mean, a prohibition of alcohol did the same thing. All it really does is encourage the behavior you're trying to legislate against.
Yeah. I think it's just particularly interesting, you know, and largely this story got picked up not because it was good news, but because it was absurd news, and whoever the original reporter who picked it up is probably laughing themselves to the bank, because they now have all these Facebook hits and Twitter posts and retweets and everything else. But it's the fact that somebody thought this is kind of ridiculous in this day and age. Because fundamentally, if you ban cell phone use, you're really banning, I mean, he talks about it in the article I read, which, let me go back to it here. This is Channel 5 NBC, but it is not Cincinnati's Channel 5 NBC. This is Burlington, Vermont's Channel 5. But what they, what they're essentially saying is that he compares this to the fact that people going on Facebook and Twitter and other social media platforms can become radicalized over this. And so I'm like, well, you take the cell phone away, then what is, you know, they can still get access to it via laptops and desktop computers and tablets. And those are required for school anyway. It's not like it's going to stop access to these platforms. That's kind of like what happened in Great Britain when they banned all guns, and so everybody started killing each other with knives. It's a people problem, not a technology problem. And I can't even say that cell phone use by people under the age of 21 is a people problem. It's a form of communicating, and I would say that that's really, not only is it the ban would be a civil rights violation, I would say it would probably be a good place to be a Second Amendment violation, because you're taking away the ability of people to document, record, and share, you know, events that go on around them, good, bad, or ugly.
But I think, though, that's kind of what this guy's point is, because he's really not, well, I mean, I guess he is kind of saying that cell phones are bad, but I think he's also saying that these kinds of laws are ridiculous.
I don't know. It doesn't appear to me that's what he's saying. I mean, great if he is, because I agree and wholeheartedly, like, laws like this are ridiculous, but I also think it's a waste of the Vermont legislature time, you know, to have to deal with something like this.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm inferring that because he does say that he doesn't think he would even vote for it himself.
Yeah.
To which I'm saying, then, well, what's the purpose behind putting forth the legislation? I didn't see an age on how old this guy is. Maybe he's just senile.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well,
and that's an issue, too, with our federal government, is that we have people making decisions about platforms and technologies that then of themselves cannot use, at least use fluently, because they didn't grow up with them. I mean, it's kind of funny. It's sad in a way when you watch your parents and your in-laws get older, your uncles and aunts, and they struggle using the same technology that you use every day, and then you look at your kids, and your kids are out using the same technology, you know, with you. And so, it's bad enough that, like when Congress interviewed Mark Zuckerberg and these... The questions that got asked, it's like, didn't they consult with their interns to go, is this a valid question to ask?
What is the Facebook?
The Facebook, yeah. Are you on the pot? But I mean, that's what the disconnect is real.
Yeah.
You know, we have people making decisions not only about businesses and the way people live, but they don't understand the value of the technology or how to use the platforms.
But it's not just technology.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the area of technology. It's everything from healthcare to education
to
transportation.
Problem with that is because that is, you know, in the industry that I work in, that is what we call digital transformation. We've gone from the information age, which was the... So in a very short period of time, I'm going to pull a Dr. Falkowski, but on something that I have lots and lots of pertinent knowledge about. In a very short period of time, we went from the computer age, where computers became prolific as tools to use in business, to the information age, where we were now sharing information across the internet, to now what we call digital transformation. And digital transformation means that companies no longer, the IT department in a company is no longer... they're not part of the operations of the business to get the day-to-day business done. They're kind of this separate entity who runs the business systems. Well, now with digital transformation, technology is part of everything. You drive a car, every modern car made from about 2012 on has three separate computers in it. Every business is reliant on computers and software to actually get their business done, whether it's healthcare or it's sales or manufacturing. You can't take it away now. It's not something that, I can still run my manufacturing because all I'm doing over here is crunching, you know, numbers for the accountant. But no, it all is seamlessly integrated together, and that's what we call digital transformation now. And that's why when they talk about stuff, including things like the Facebook or the Twitter, it is so integral to how businesses and healthcare and everything is run today. I mean, marketing departments, you know, it used to be, the last biggest transformation in technology for companies who, and all companies do marketing, was television. And then now it's the internet, and it's Twitter, and it's Facebook, and it's Google, and it's Amazon. I mean.
But one of the things that I've actually tried to learn a little bit about is how effective advertising is in social media. And I don't think it's doing as well as we may think.
Well, you know, you have to remember part of what social media does, and the other difference is advertising on the internet is much less expensive than plastering, you know, billboards and posters and everywhere and paying for the physical advertising space. So your advertising dollar goes a lot farther. So your hit rate can be much, much less than it used to be. But I think it's more effective than we think about it, because as savvy users, we kind of just, you know, ignore it. But targeted ads is one of the big things that companies like Facebook and Twitter and Google provide to everybody. So it's not so much that the advertising is there. It's that I'm going to use your Facebook login to log into this other site, this other e-commerce site. And so then they're going, well, they're buying X, Y, and Z from, you know, the widget company. And so the next time you get on Google to do a search, they advertise not only company you purchased from, but they advertise two or three alternatives from different companies for the same type of product that the widget company is making.
Yeah, but honestly, I
and the other thing that's funny about advertising is I don't think advertising is marketed to us at our current age and generation group. I think it's marketed to not even teenagers. It's marketed to that tween-age crowd, and it's marketed to the elderly. Because if you look at television, and you look at even in primetime TV today, and over-the-air television or cable television, and, you know, you get on CBS or NBC, and not CBS.com or NBC.com, but you get on CBS or NBC, excuse me, man, all the advertising appears to be marketed towards the elderly. So you get all these, you know, American, family insurance, you know, get life insurance for, and it's Alex Trebek up there, for 1 cent a day, you know, add $50,000 worth of life insurance coverage in case something happens to you or your spouse. And the thing is, in primetime, it's much less, but because you get in, like, the afternoon shows and stuff like that on over-the-air television, or you get in early morning, and that is definitely 100% targeted towards the elderly crowd. And it's kind of like the way they used to target advertising when kids would get home from school, and, you know, you'd have, I mean, the advertising was a little different in some ways, but then again, not. You know, you'd have the after-school cartoons that would be on for about an hour or two. And the cartoon alone, you know, G.I. Joe, Transformers, the Smurfs. Well, Smurfs was a Saturday morning cartoon. But G.I. Joe and Transformers, and I can't remember what some of the others were, but they were there. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. And all. They were all, the whole show was advertising for the product, you know. And then in between the shows and the commercial breaks, they were not only advertising those products, but other toys as well. So, you know, it's that targeted marketing. But now that they don't do, like, after-school cartoons because you have Cartoon Network, you know, you don't find those elderly ads on Cartoon Network, by the way. Go figure. But over-the-air TV, that majority, and I think part of it is because those are the people who, in the sense of teenagers, they're the ones wanting to, are trying to become more adult, and so they think these are adult things that they should be looking at. And then the elderly, for a large part, goes back to what I was saying before, but they can't use the technology they have. So they think that they're being savvy by, because I hate to say it, but SEO, search engine optimization, which I've used before, that's one of the questions when you're setting it up, they ask you is, what is your target demographic? You know, and they're very successful at getting people, getting clicks to go look at what you're doing.
But one of the things that I think we still haven't quite defined demographically is how much of the creepy factor.
It is creepy. You know,
but you know, I don't think the 12 to 18 demographic, I don't think they find that as creepy because that's all they know.
Very true.
18 to 25 find it probably mildly creepy, but you know, 25 to 45, it, man, we're like paranoid.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would say 25 to 55.
Well, yeah, I would
too, maybe actually. Even 60, but above 60, you know, a lot of these people when.
I mean, I don't think it's neat.
Yeah. Oh, I don't either.
I think it's super creepy. Because... Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it happens whether you... A lot of times, whether or not you have... now, I will say this. Since macOS 10 Catalina came out, now you can really block cookies and stuff. I don't see it happening as often, but prior to that on my Macs and even on, and today, even still on Edge on my Windows machines, you still get that. Occasionally you'll like be looking at something on Amazon, and you go to Facebook, and what you're looking at on Amazon
is now being advertised,
now being advertised on Facebook because what they're doing is they're using the cookies to share that information across.
Right. To me, that's creepy.
Yeah, and if you don't think that, you know, one of the things that, has been interesting, and there was a big push over the holiday, this last holiday season, of do not buy a Google Home or a Amazon Echo for anybody in your family, because over the last 12 months, 2019, found out that they're recording a lot of what's going on in your house. And part of what Amazon is recording is exactly that. If you're talking about a product, so my brother-in-law had this happen. There was a TV commercial on TV about something, and he then started getting the Amazon ads for that particular product in Facebook.
See, now I think if people want to stop this from being creepy,
yeah,
they're gonna have to turn their TVs on and let the algorithm destroy itself.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually this will not be effective.
Correct.
And that's when it'll stop. I mean, I think the creepy factor is just we'll do it in.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Well, you know, the other thing that's going on, and part of the reason that particularly the consumer sales marketing, you know, which is what I would call the, you know, you look at something on Amazon and they're trying to hard sell, you know, with the Amazon links and Facebook or Twitter or whatever your platform you're looking at. I think a lot of that is driven by the fact that a lot of companies, it's so competitive today to stay afloat. I mean, look how many brick and mortar companies are struggling. If you don't think Target and Walmart are struggling against the behemoth of Amazon, then you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
Best Buy happens to be the last one standing in the electronics industry. I mean, when I was in college, we had Best Buy, and we had Suncoast, and we had Sun Appliances, and we had H.R. Gregg. I mean, there were six or seven places you could go. And now, if you want to go look at technology, or you want to purchase it right now, the only real dedicated electronics store, and even for appliances too, dedicated to appliances, is Best Buy. I mean, you can buy appliances from Home Depot and Lowe's, but they're not dedicated to selling appliances. They sell lumber, you know, and tools for home improvement. You can get some of that stuff at Walmart or Target, but they don't carry the depth and breadth of product, you know. And if you need something obscure, Best Buy is your only shot to even come close to that. You know, you need a converter, a right angle converter for a DVI connector, HDMI connector, or whatever. Best Buy is your only shot locally to get something like that. Otherwise, you're not going to order it from Amazon online, because you can get anything from Amazon. And I'm an Amazon user and abuser. If it's something obscure that I want, I always look at Amazon, because typically I can find it. You know, and there are a couple other competitors, real electronics. Like, we used to have MCM Electronics, which was headquartered here in southwestern Ohio. Their parent company closed all but a sales office down here and moved the distribution center and the sales room and the showroom and all that stuff to their headquarters. So now Newark, which was their parent company, and they closed down the MCM name. They still exist, and I can get online and I can order stuff from them, and they still carry the obscure things that I need occasionally, particularly now that you can't, I mean, and when I say obscure, it's not like you can go to Best Buy and you can buy a bag of resistors, or you can buy a bunch of LEDs, you know, to work on an electronics project or repair a piece of electronics you have. You have to go to Best Buy, or you have to go to Amazon or Newark or, you know, somebody like them to be able to get those anymore. Because, again, that market is collapsing. Forever 21 is one of the latest ones who, over the last 6 months, is starting to close stores. And, I mean, stores that haven't been around for more than a year or two. We've lost Kmart in the United States. We've lost Sears in the United States. So that local choice is getting smaller and smaller to find things. And I don't think it's bad that we're seeing a contraction in that market, because we'll see that market expand again when there's new players who have some new and radical way. But to break into the online marketing realm and be, you know, compete with Amazon, you're pretty much out of luck at this point. You know?
Which is, I think, right now, not necessarily a problem, but I would think somewhere down the line, they could run into monopoly problems.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, and you know, there are some things going on too, like Walmart and Target are looking at doing distribution a little bit differently than Amazon. Amazon builds these big distribution centers, and you know, they offer to Amazon Prime members the 2-day shipping, and sometimes it's 1 day. I had one thing, because it was so close, they offered me 1-day shipping, and I got it the next day. And actually, if I had ordered it 3 hours earlier in the morning, I would have had it that day, because they had it in stock at a close distribution center. And Amazon is doing some other things to make that shipping time be longer. Like, they'll give you credits if you're willing to wait an extra day. You know, and I've actually taken them, because every one of them is a dollar credit. You know, so I accumulate them over the year, and then if we want to rent or purchase a movie on it on Amazon Prime, we use it. Or, you know, buy some music from Amazon Music, or a book for Amazon Kindle, that's cash that you can use for those electronic purchases. But, you know, Walmart and Target are looking at the, and Kroger's actually has already started this, which Kroger's is the largest grocery store chain in the nation. Actually, I think they're the largest in the world at this point, because they own, most people don't realize Kroger owns their local grocery store. So out west, Smith's is owned by Kroger's. In the southeast, what is that one called? They own a couple of them. I can't remember what they are down in the southeast. But they own a couple of the grocery store chains. And they've expanded with their marketplaces into the Walmart and Target space too, because that's where they're stepping up to compete in. But there's the three of those, like I said, Kroger's already doing it, are starting to use their local stores as distribution centers, which makes sense. If I'm shipping product to a local store, why can't I use that local store to fulfill internet requests? And Kohl's has been doing that too for years. They do have distribution centers that mainly feed the stores in a region, and they do ship internet purchases from those stores. But if they don't have stuff in the distribution center, it's been distributed out to the stores, they ship it from those stores. And it makes perfect sense. And that's a different way of combating the Amazon model too, and staying alive. And I want to make a good point here too. So the department store wars, which has been going on since pretty much department stores have been in existence, your Macy's and your Lord and Taylor's, and you know, Kohl's doesn't really have that much competition. Now, part of the reason why is they changed their model. Their model is to have many more turns of merchandise, like a constant turn of merchandise, like a Walmart or Target has, as opposed to the way Macy's and traditional department stores do it, where they might have 4 or 5 turns of merchandise in a year. And that's worked for Kohl's, and it has not worked out for Macy's and Lord and Taylor, and I can't even think of what some of the others are. They've been gone for so long. You know, and that's part of the problem that Sears had too, is they had that traditional department store model, and they never learned to amp it up so that they could stay cogent in today's world. Well, I think that's probably enough to go off on our start with the cell phone ban, end with our retail, the demise of retail in the United States or the world. So we want to hear from you, our listeners. So please send us some audio, video, text, whatever, to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. And we'll see you on the digital flip side.
You've been listening to Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.